Big gatherings are expected on two continents this week, and a major American company is fighting a big fine abroad. Those are among the key international stories in the coming days, and with me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. Rob, let's start in Iran, where tomorrow the country will mark the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, and it could really be a moment for the country to try and show some unity, right?
Yeah, that's right, Mark, and I'll come to that in just a moment. But let's just remember what happened back in 1979, particularly for some of your younger listeners. We saw the fall of the Western-backed, the American-backed monarch in Iran, the Shah. And many Iranians thought at the time this was a great moment. They saw the Shah's people as corrupt, living an opulent lifestyle at the expense of the poor and so on. But what replaced him soon turned many of those supporters against the new leadership. So along came this guy, Ayatollah Khomeini, and within 2 weeks, for example, women were not allowed to go outside without covering their heads. Truly, an Islamic Republic was born. My colleague, Sadek Sabah, who used to be head of the BBC's Persian service, was living and working in Iran at the time. He managed to jump out of a window and escape on foot as he was being hunted down by Iran's Revolutionary Guards. Take a listen to this.
The new regime under Ayatollah Khomeini had taken a sinister turn. His feared Chief Justice, the Ayatollah Sadegh Khalkhali, had ordered the execution of leftist and democratic activists in a bloody campaign immediately after the Ayatollah's rise to power. Hundreds of ministers, top generals, and other people close to the Shah had been executed. Now they were turning on us.
Turning on us. So that was Sadek Sabah, my former colleague. And luckily he got out. He escaped to Europe and then to London, but he was one of the lucky ones. Now, let's fast forward to this year. It's the 41st anniversary and is being marked tomorrow, as it's marked every year. But this year, expect a lot more flag waving, denunciation of the great Satan, the United States, of course, and more, because Iran at the moment is feeling under siege. If you remember, it was rocked by big public protests back in November against a rise in fuel prices. Those price rises were in part caused by the tightening of American sanctions on Iran, which meant that it can't sell its oil. So the economy is in some disarray. And then on January the 8th, further public protests against the leadership following the admission that Iran had indeed shot down that Ukrainian passenger plane after it left Tehran. It took Iran 3 days to admit to having shot it down, and that brought a very angry response from the people once again onto the streets. And of course, several days before that, the US had assassinated Iran's top general in Iraq. So you can see why Iran right now is feeling encircled, vulnerable, under siege, and that's why this week, the 41st anniversary of the revolution, expect to see huge numbers of people out in the streets, some of them compelled to be there rather than there under their own volition and choice. And that's because Iran really wants to show the world a big picture of unity.
All right, Rob. Also this coming week, lots and lots of people expected to mass in the city of Dresden in Germany. Why will they be doing this? And why is this a story Germans and others will be watching carefully?
Yes, well, as you say, Mark, we're expecting tens of thousands to gather in Dresden, which I had to look this up on the map. It's in eastern Germany. It's near the border with Poland and the Czech Republic. And they're going to gather to pay tribute to the victims of Allied air raids. That means primarily British and American bomber aircraft in 1945. Now, this is interesting for several reasons. First, this commemoration only began annually in 2010, 10 years ago. And it's increasingly a lightning conductor for far-right sentiment in Germany. So expect far-right German nationalists and populists to turn out at this. At the same time, we're going to see anti-far-right groups, we're going to see peace activists, we're going to see human chains of people who don't want to see a war again. But this is a sort of conflict area between the far-right and the left, if you like. So that's what we're looking out for this week. Now, just to remind us what really happened in Dresden 75 years ago, and it's the 75th anniversary, I spoke to the BBC's correspondent in Berlin, Jenny Hill. She gave me her thoughts.
On the night of the 13th of February 1945, British and American planes began raids over the city of Dresden, dropping incendiary devices onto the city below. Down on the ground, the subsequent firestorm destroyed the city, once known as the Florence of the Elbe because of its beautiful architecture. It's estimated 25,000 people died, and what survivors describe are scenes of absolute horror.
That was the BBC's Jenny Hill in Berlin. But you can see why, when the world talks about you know, the victims of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and so on. You can see why the people of Dresden want some attention for what happened there as well. But really, the concern and the focus this week at the 75th anniversary is that far-right element of German nationalist groups who we expect to come out in force. And just before we leave Germany as a subject, I should just say that the far right has raised its head in another story that's broken today, which is the person who was expected to take over from Chancellor Angela Merkel has stepped aside. And that's caused a big political earthquake in Germany. And she stepped aside because her party was seen to have cooperated with a far right political party in regional elections. And that was so embarrassing for her that she's had to step aside. So you can see how the far right as an issue is really permeating German society.
That's really interesting. All right, Rob, let's end with Google's parent company, Alphabet. They will be at the European Court of Justice this week fighting a $2.6 billion fine. What are they accused of doing wrong?
Yeah, so this is called an antitrust case, and it regards online shopping. So antitrust laws are also referred to as competition laws. They're statutes developed by the US government to protect consumers from predatory business practices, and they're supposed to ensure that fair competition exists in an open market economy. Now, often when you search for a product on Google's website, the first results will be Google's own shopping service, where you can compare prices from different retailers. And 2 years ago, the European Union said what Google was doing here was unfair and that other companies that offer price comparison sites can't compete with Google. Google says that's not true and the EU hasn't proved any wrongdoing. But the EU calculated a fine based on the benefit that Google received in advertising and sales and ordered the company to pay $2.6 billion and change the way they present their shopping service.
Now, Rob, this is just one of the problems US-based tech companies have had in the EU, right?
Well, that's right. There's quite a few. You may have heard of the right to be forgotten. That's where EU citizens can petition for certain links to be hidden from search results if they deem them to be incorrect or outdated. And there's talk in different parts of the EU about making a standard tax for digital transactions. So a company like Apple will have to pay taxes on a song you buy from the iTunes store, for example, in France. Currently, Apple pays no tax on those kinds of purchase. So the US government argues that these kinds of rulings by the EU are actually intended to punish US companies and give an advantage to European ones. And the EU, of course, sees things differently.
All right. As always, plenty to keep our eyes on. That is the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, good to talk to you. Thank you.
You too, Mark. Thank you.